but there, for all of us old timers, there is a famous talk show host named Geraldo Rivera. And Geraldo had the Geraldo Show. And Geraldo actually is really Gerald. And it's not Rivera, but it's a little different than that. His mother was a Russian Jew. And he had a show from 87 to 98. And the second year of his show, he had a bunch of skinheads and neo-Nazis, along with a rabbi and African-American leader. And it was very tense, and it was a very not a simple situation. And about halfway into the show, a major brouhaha happened and a major fight, and it was crazy. And at that time, I was kind of teaching about the love of Judaism, and from one direction, from people are going to tell us that we can't be Jewish, and people are going to, you know, have hate for us, or we're going to show them differently. But that's one way to talk about loving your Judaism. But that's not the way Rabbi Kosman, Olav HaShalom, our dear esteemed rabbi, would have taught love for Judaism. And Rabbi Kosman would always talk about being positive and being a positive person and being a loving person. There's a famous Musser book. Musser we all know that we learn Jewish halachot and laws and customs throughout the millennia, but last number of hundreds of years, there was something called the Musser movement, and that was working on your characteristics and what kind of a Jew you should be. And in order to be able to learn Torah and to teach Torah and to be involved in Torah, you had to be involved with Musser, and which means to give over. And there's a famous book called the Orcha Tzadikim. It was an unknown author, believed to have been written in the 15th century in Germany, but very heavily influenced by the French Tosfists, the commentators on the Talmud. And he talks about the different kinds of love that people have. People have a love of money. People have a love of relatives. People have a love of long life, honor. And one of the things, it mentions several, I think up to 13, but one of the things it talks about is the love that a child has for a parent, and how to commonly focus your love that you have for that parent. And unfortunately tonight, we are here to memorialize our dear Shoresh members who have lost a parent and one a grandparent. So I'm gonna turn you over to now our esteemed rabbi and leader and friend, our B. Stanley Resnick Memorial Scholar, Rabbi Menachem Goldberger, to say a few words.
Oh, I gotta unmute myself? Okay, unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much, Rabbi Dave. And I feel a sense of real honor to be here tonight. And when I received the notice from Shoresh about the various people who passed away, and several of who I knew well, their families as well, I'm going to mention that's Norm Friedman, Olav HaShalom, and to the Friedman family, Rebbetzin Kosman and the Kosman family, Stephen Levy and Rachel Raven and her family, Rabbi Ephraim Majeski, Rabbi Yaakov Majeski and his mishpacha, and Miriam Meyer, grandmother of Devorah Buxbaum. And I'm also friendly with Devorah's parents, Rabbi and Mrs. Meyer, who live in Denver, which is my hometown. And I was thinking about, you know, a way to reach out to the people here who lost family members, people who were dear to them, precious to them, and also to the Shoresh Mishpacha as well. And this is the thought I wanted to share with you. There's an idea that every Jewish neshama has a letter that corresponds to it in a Sefer Torah. So each one of us, our neshama, somehow is connected to a letter or part of a letter in the Torah. And this means that there is a very root, we could even say Shoresh, connection between the Jewish soul, the Yiddish and the Neshama, and the Torah. There's a very fascinating thing about letters in a Sefer Torah. In my earlier years, before I went out into the rabbinate and I was doing some teaching, I also worked for a while as a sofer when I was in Denver. I used to fix Sefer Torah. And the ink that is used to write the letters on a Sefer Torah is rather thick. It's not super thick, but it has real substance to it. And you write it on cloth, and the cloth is the parchment that the Sefer Torah is written on, usually from a cow, sometimes from a deer. Well, that ink, when it sits on the parchment for many years, it actually is absorbed into the parchment. You can't really tell that when you're just reading the Torah, but if you have to fix a letter in the Torah, which sometimes involves erasing that letter with a very sharp blade to kind of lift it off the parchment and then write something, a better letter, more properly formed letter in its place. When you peel off that letter, you can actually see the imprint of the previous letter in the parchment. It's not like when you erase, you know, pencil with an eraser and it's gone. But after that letter, that os, has been lifted off, you can see the aleph, if it was an aleph. It's there. Its weight, its presence, has actually made what's called in our Sforim HaKadoshim a rishimu, which means a deep impression. It's there even after the letter has left. Now, being that each one of us has a letter of the Sefer Torah within us because it is associated with our neshama, that means the Jewish people as a whole are like one big Sefer Torah, and all of the letters in the Torah are interacting with each other all the time. And then sometimes one of those letters lifts off the parchment. A person leaves this world. Their neshama is lifted off this world. Well, we all know that when somebody dear to us passes away, that the impression that they have left upon us is still very deeply on all the other letters that are there. We don't just think they're gone and that's it, but rather we really feel the presence of their life, the accomplishments of their life, the goals of their life, and everything that they left behind for all of us, all of the people. It's just like that letter that's taken off the Sefer Torah. It's still there. And I think for all of the people here, these beautiful mishpachos who I know so well, who have lost people very dear to them, I want to say to you that I know you have that impression, that rishima, that's left in your lives, in your personal Sefer Torah, in your family's lives. And although they're not here in this world, but the rishima that they have left is deeply felt by you and by all of us. And may Hashem Yisborach be mevorech you and all of us to be able to make the very most out of the lessons that we learned from these outstanding people. And may their neshamas have an aliyah mechayel lechayel. And we love you all, and may Hashem give you much strength to be able to continue forward in ways of bracha and nachas. B'chol ma'aseh yideichem, ken yehi ratzon.
So the order tonight is based on when our loved ones passed away. So the first person that will be addressing us tonight, and each person is going to speak for about 4 or 5 minutes. So thank you so much for the special honor you're giving them. Is Kenny Freeman is going to speak about his dear father, Norm.
Thank you for this opportunity. It's a particularly, I know everyone who's speaking alongside me shares the difficulty of this year, of the difficulty of not being able to really say Kaddish and fully remember our loved ones or express, our devotion to them. So this is something that's personally helpful to me. I appreciate the opportunity to do this. Thank you, Rabbi Dave. I was told I would be following Rabbi Dave, and to be honest, Rabbi Dave has been following me for years, stealing my jokes. But I didn't hear anything about Rabbi Goldberger having to follow him. That's near impossible. But when Rabbi Dave asked me to speak about my dad and his love for Judaism, how could I say no? And like some of us, my dad was not born from. His family was traditional. He went to Hebrew school, but he didn't keep Shabbos, put on tefillin, keep kosher, until he met my mom in his 30s. And for once he did, he never looked back. And he didn't do things begrudgingly, accepted them with a full heart. The more impressive thing than becoming from is to be able to remain normal and non-judgmental. My brothers and I were always a perfect fit for Shoresh because my dad embodied the ideals of Shoresh in living your Judaism simply with faith and with a joy for life. And my dad inspired us in how he lived his life. Dad was born into a generation where not only was it unlikely to become closer to God, it was the opposite. I read recently that Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg said that anyone that grew up in America in those years and remained frum is such a spiritual giant that surely Moshe Rabbeinu himself will come to greet them in the world to come. This was true for my mom's family, one of very few religious families in Baltimore in the earliest century. But to become religious in an era where the opposite is happening, wow, that's even more amazing. When I think of my dad, and I spoke to my brothers, the term that continually came up was emuna peshuta. The simple translation of that is simple faith. Emuna is not just a philosophy, it's a way of life. Spiritually, we filter our day's events in this fashion as well. We don't need professionals to tell us this. My father had an awareness that everything was from Hashem, and he was able to translate that to his life. He was able to see that everything he had was good and from his creator, and this led to his happiness and his ability to live life with true simchas hachaim, a joy for life. And my dad worked at the National Institute of Health for many years. You know, and from day one, he proudly wore his kippah, the only guy in the entire unit. And he never thought twice. He was proud to be Jewish. That was his Judaism. I'm going to try to speak about this stuff without crying. We recently had an incredibly emotional and bittersweet event take place in our family. Our wonderful son, Yossi, the guy sitting right behind me, longtime Shoresh camper. He's coming up on his bar mitzvah, and Yossi was able to put on his tefillin for the first time, as Jewish boys traditionally do 30 days before their bar mitzvah. I'm going to take you back a little bit. When Yossi was born, my dad was bursting. He had that special smile that we all knew. He always had a special smile, but there was a different glow on the days of our family joyous occasions. There's a picture from my wedding where my dad smiled so big, it looked like his face would crack. That he was shining. That smile was repeated on other occasions, but never more than when he held his grandchildren. And when his first grandson was born, well, he was really just ready to burst. On the day of Yossi's bris, when I was blessed to see that smile again, Dad came over to me and told me that he wanted to buy Yossi's tefillin and that he would buy Israeli bonds toward that goal each year. Now, tefillin are not cheap. Over the next bunch of years, Dad would buy an Israeli bond here and there. And of course, he made me promise that I wouldn't spend the dividends on wine and that they would actually go towards Yossi's tefillin. When it came time recently for Yossi to wrap his tefillin for the first time, and I realized my father could not be there, and I know that, and I was told by people I'm very close to and rabbis that your loved one is not just looking on at your family's joyous occasions, they are there with you and you will feel them there with you. So my brothers and I decided that not only would Yossi Zaidi have the zechus, the merit, to buy his grandson's tefillin for him, but that he would have the zechus to give him his own tefillin. Who better to wear my father's beloved tefillin than his grandson? So it came to that emotional morning that Yossi would put his tefillin on, and with great trepidation and love and some sadness, I helped my dear son continue in the legacy of the Jewish people by not only wearing tefillin and continuing our beautiful tradition, but in wearing the tefillin of his wonderful Zaidi. What a bond. What a mesorah. This beautiful, unbreakable bond between father and son from one generation to the next. We all have room to grow in our lives, and particularly in our Judaism. View that as an opportunity to fill that void with Judaism. My dad did just that and never looked back and created a beautiful life and family from this. Dad loved Shoresh so much. He was always incredibly proud to be a partner in Shoresh, to see his sons, his daughter-in-law, and his grandchildren become an integral part of the Shoresh family. He looked so forward to the barbecue banquet every year. It didn't hurt that hot dogs were served. Speaking on behalf of Marla and my kids and my extended family, I want to extend a thank you to Rabbi Dave and Rabbi T and Usher and Fran and Magic, and the list goes on of all of our favorite people we've known and loved for so many years. But a special thank you, of course, I can't speak without thinking of him, and I know someone else is going to speak about the Rebbetzin, but I want to mention my Rebbe, Rabbi Moshe Kosman, who, much like my father, embodied true Amuna Pshuta and Simchas HaChaim. And may we all learn from this. And may my father's neshama have an aliyah. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kenny. It's very beautiful words. Our next neshama that we're speaking about is known as a few names to our group as the Rebbetzin, known as Mora Kosman. Many of the Beth Shalom Frederick members are on now, along with Mrs. Kosman's children. And so we'd like to hear from Dr. Robert Edelman and Marge.
Now, can you hear me all right now?
Yes.
Good. Thank you for asking us to speak on behalf of Carol and her memory. Very personally, All of you knew Carol Kosman, Rebbetzin Kosman. I'm assuming the large majority of you looking on through Zoom knew her. We knew her in many ways. When we first moved to Frederick, she became a role model and inspiration for my wife, together with the rabbi, and myself to slowly become Shomer Shabbat. She showed us the beauty of Agnosis Arkim, of welcoming guests. That's how we first got to know a Shabbos table, the first one I've ever attended in my life. The candles glowing, and no matter how many people the rabbi would schlep home on Saturday afternoon following the Second Street services in the morning, chakras in the morning, The Carol never said anything about it. She simply smiled and brought out more chairs and pulled out more lettuce from the refrigerator and put more dressing on everything. And boom, as many as 8 people I've seen at times he would bring home unexpected. Carol was all the time gracious and elegant toward her joy of receiving these guests. She was very much more involved with, with me, with Marge than I was. I was very close to the rabbi, as you can guess. We shared, our family shared Rissel, Aviva Kosman Edelman, with our son Daniel Charles Edelman. And with 8 grandkids we shared. We have 5 boys and 3 girls from that. And I forget how many great-grandchildren.
We don't count.
We don't count, my wife says. I count, but I forgot, frankly. We have many intimate memories of Shoresh. When we used to bring Shoresh to our backyard, many of you know that. And Carol and Marge would serve they would pluck chickens, kosher chickens she would get, and they would pluck chicken, prepare chickens for lunch for the kids. When we had something like 17 kids in our backyard, and year by year, this grew, and the numbers of kids were reflected by the cases of chickens that they used to pluck, together with many other members of the community, Ellen Glickman and Peg Marks and many others. Carol always served as the quiet, modest role model for them. Never once did I ever hear her complain about anything, with the possible exception that when the rabbi got into the laundromat business, I don't think she was particularly happy about that, but he only went into the business in order to gain income to help Shoresh, to maintain Shoresh in Frederick. Over the years, Carol has never ceased to be the ideal of a modest Jewish woman who loved her Yiddishkeit, who loved serving people, showing the beauty of Shabbos. And I don't think I've ever remembered her getting up to talk in a public way. She was always the silent partner behind the rabbi. And he relied upon her in so many ways, and she was always there for him. She was the ideal role model of a modest, tznius, Eishes Chayil, I will tell you. And we have, on our wall of our new condo, we have the picture of their Shabbos table, which was the beginning of our
initiation
into intense Jewish life and the beauty, initiating the beauty of Jewish life. I remember the rabbi saying in front of her and all of us, she says, the only thing necessary for the love of Judaism is the love of beauty. That's a typical cosmic comment, and we carry that comment with us. Total acceptance, joy, and a sense of responsibility, as well as being favored by Hashem, to carry on the traditions of Judaism. I also want to say, before I stop, that I didn't get to meet Magic's father. We attended Magic's funeral on Magic's father's funeral on Zoom. I was so impressed by him. I just wanted to step out of my role here for a moment and say how much, what a wonderful role model he was for the Majeski family. Kenny, I didn't know your father very well. I may have met him once or twice, but your words were beautiful and they resonated very much with us.
And that's because there's always the woman behind the man, and I know his mom.
Okay. All right. So I think Devorah Buxbaum, we didn't know your grandmother either, but of course we know the both of you very well. So that's it for now. I think it's a pleasure to be able to stand amongst many other noble people here talking on behalf of those who've gone, and how they've strengthened our families and the Shoresh family.
Still live with us.
They're still here.
Thank you very much, Dr. Mrs. E. And Mrs. E, I hope you have a speedy recovery and feel better soon. We're thinking of you. Our next person that we'd like to call upon is our dear friend, Rachel Raven, in memory of her father, Stephen Levy.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Rabbi Dave, Rabbi T, Fran, everyone, for this opportunity to speak about my dad. It's nice to feel the love and seeing so many familiar faces as I look out right now. And I think probably a number of us can agree, those of us who did Zoom for Shiva, it's been shockingly comforting to have people come together at this time to support me and my family. And this is one more opportunity like that. And I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to talk about my dad. I feel very, very blessed. I mentioned, and when I spoke about my dad at the Levaya, that at the funeral, that I feel like I hit the jackpot with him. He was a great, great person, a great man, a great father, and really gave a lot of people a lot of love and guidance. In terms of Judaism, he loved going to shul, and he himself did not grow up observant. I didn't grow up observant, but I have many positive memories of Judaism from my childhood, and I thank my dad for giving me a lot of that and his parents. We used to go to my grandparents for Friday night dinner. My grandmother, not every Friday night, and we certainly would watch TV after, but we had these beautiful meals where my grandmother would light candles, and my dad was one of four kids, Kamei Nahara, and there was a lot of the meals were alive. And that was my first experience growing up at Shabbos tables. And even though, again, it wasn't an Orthodox Judaism, it had that love and vibrancy and enjoyment. And I really, my dad, I knew always at the core that he did love his being Jewish. He loved going to shul. We only went a couple times a year, but he loved going for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And that was meaningful to him. His grandfather actually often would go up on the bima. He was kind of a regular and part of the choir at Beth Am. And we always felt a real connection to the shul, both from my great-grandfather, his grandfather, but also just being able to have the opportunity to go to shul and his love of it. And so that definitely resonated with me. As I became religious, he was extremely supportive of my journey and Michael's journey and our families. And to this day, I don't take for granted his support. I can't imagine how hard it is for parents to see their kids go to such an extreme, even if it is in so many good ways and following mitzvos. But I do truly appreciate that my father was forever supportive. He just, whatever we wanted, whatever was good for us, he was there to support us. And I'm very grateful that he made the journey so easy for me and for Michael, to a point where even when we moved first into Potomac and now into Kent Mill, they would try to come when they could for some of the holidays. They would come for Rosh Hashanah and they would come the night of and they would have dinner with us. And, you know, as it got harder for him health-wise, he would stay over. And we really enjoyed that extra together time. For Pesach, the first Seder, we share with our friends, the Zagis. And the Zagis were always extremely hospitable and said, bring your parents. We love your parents. And my parents would go. And it was this really live Seder, and they had a great time, and we laughed because my dad was not well. He suffered from both diabetes and cancer later on, and there was a time when he pushed himself to come to the Seder, and literally the entire table fell. Like, you know, they put out all these extra tables and one of the table fell onto my dad, and everything just came sliding down the table, grape juice flying, you name it, all on him. And he had a bad leg, and I mean, it was such a mess, but he laughed it off. And to this day, we all laugh about it and joke about it. And that was just, you know, a memory of my dad at a Pesach Seder that we'll forever have. And somehow he laughed it off. We said Mazel Tov and as things broke, and it was just a great fun memory in the end. So I feel blessed. I feel blessed that I got a great dad. I feel blessed that he loved his Judaism in the way he did, because there's no question that me and my family are from to this day, partially because of that. And I'm grateful that we have so many wonderful memories with him. And I'll just share one other thing. I don't know how many minutes I have if my time is up, but one other quick thing that I just find interesting. My dad was a psychologist, and he had a very small private practice, maybe saw 2 to 4 clients a week, private practice clients a week. He also worked for the VA hospital in Baltimore for 43 years. And my dad, somehow there's a rabbi in Baltimore who found out about my dad being a psychologist. He knew he wasn't from, but he liked that my dad wasn't from because he was outside of the community. And he referred somebody to my dad, and I guess my dad did a really good job with him. And so this rabbi in Baltimore ended up sending people to my dad over the years. And I was always curious, and I never could ask because of the nature of confidentiality, but I always was curious, you know, I wonder who, like what community in Baltimore my dad is serving and which rabbi knows my dad and thinks so highly of him. And now, you know, I'll never know. And that's okay, because I'm a psychologist myself. And I recognize that all of these things are confidential. But I do believe that there was also always an extra added connection in my becoming religious, that he had this inside understanding and view of the Orthodox world from seeing Orthodox patients. And whenever I would tell him about a holiday coming up, he already knew what days I was going to be off, because he knew from his clients. And that was just a cool additional piece that he had. So anyway, thank you for this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Very beautiful, Rachel. Thank you. Before I just turn to our next speaker, I just wanted to point out that it's a big honor to also have from Israel, Rabbi Rocky, who's here 1:30 in the morning, but he has such a connection to all the people here, and I know everyone really appreciates having him. I'm going to turn you now over to our very special rabbi, Rabbi Yaakov Majeski, in memory of his dear father, Rabbi Fry Majeski.
Thank you, Rabbi Dave, and thank you to Rabbi T and to Fran and to everyone at Shoresh and to all of you for tuning in. I'll try to give you a little bit of a picture of who my dad was in the next 3 to 4 minutes. My dad was a very humble, sweet, kind, honest, funny, and loving person. I'm one of five, and myself and my brothers were all very, very different. But my dad was a real role model to each of us growing up. And those of you that know me, I'm still growing up. But he was a real role model to each of us. He sent each of us to different yeshivas because he recognized the potential that we each had and what we could achieve. He wasn't afraid to think out of the box. And it seems like from what I'm hearing from Kenny and of course what the Dr. E said about the Rebbetzin and Rachel speaking about her dad, that everybody is sort of saying that these people were your role models. And thank God. I mean, I think that's the way it should be. And you're very, very blessed to have role models that are so, so close for you. And I want to give a special role model to a special shout out to Yossi Friedman and wish him a mazel tov, who I don't only know from Shoresh, but also from TA. And the Friedmans are just great people. And I'm hearing such wonderful, amazing things about all of these people. And you look at the roots that they planted, and no pun intended when I use the word roots, and you see the children and the grandchildren and the families that are now passing this tradition and the messages and the stories and even the songs that used to sing at the Seder table now to their children. It's something very, very, very special. So getting back to my dad now, he was the oldest in his family, and he took on responsibility as being the Bachar, as being the oldest. And I'll share just two very short stories with you, and then we'll go on to the next speaker. After my grandmother passed away, they left the house to my father. My grandfather had already passed away. I'm named after him. And my father, being the oldest, was left the house in New York. Real estate in New York is a little bit more expensive than real estate here in Baltimore. And the house was worth $800,000 in New York, in Brooklyn. And my dad, being the oldest, had the rights to that house. And he said that he wanted to give up the house. He didn't want the money. He didn't want the house, but he wanted to give it to his sister, who was connected, shared the house together with my grandmother. And he said that all the years that my grandmother was alive, we were always able to go and visit my grandmother and stay by my dad's sister. And she was able to take care of my grandmother for all those years. And I grew up, my parents did not have a lot of money. $800,000 could have been a lot of money for my dad, for my parents at the time. But he gave that up because he realized how important it was to his sister to have that house and how much she did for the family while my grandmother was alive for all those years. And it was just the life he was. We didn't know these stories. We're finding out stories now about my dad only after he passed away, which was 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago today. But one last story, and that is, I think it's appropriate to share a story like this with everybody here at Shoresh, because what Rabbi Davis and his team and we are all trying to do here is bring people closer to Judaism, to show them the beauty of Judaism and how positive that we can be as a Jewish nation. So my dad, whenever he would do business with anyone, he was in the box business. He would sell boxes to companies. And he would always start off with a client. And we know this because we're hearing from his clients now. Seasons was a client. And he had other big companies in New Jersey, New York, and tri-state area. He would always say to them, who are you getting your boxes from? And if the person would answer that they're getting the boxes from a Jewish person, he would say, I'm sorry, I can't do business with you. I don't want to take away money from another Jew. Anyway, he meets this guy. This guy reaches out to our family during Shabbat. We've never heard of him. Nobody in my family knew who this guy was. He said, I got to tell you something. You don't know me. You never heard of me, but I knew your dad very well. We did business together. He comes into my office one day. We start talking and schmoozing. And I told him that I was from a religious home, but that over the years, I got somehow turned off from Judaism and I totally left everything. I didn't believe in God. I didn't keep Shabbos. I had nothing to do with anything. And your dad, you know, he's coming in with his big kippah and his tzitzit. We're talking business and he's listening to me, not judging anything, not saying anything. And we were just talking. It was a very nice conversation. He says the next time my dad came back, he brought him a sefer. Now the sefer is called Mesilat Yesharim. It's a
It's a sefer that works on, that you can work on strengthening your belief in God and your bitachon, your faith, and how to realize that God is in control and how a person can work on themselves. Anyway, my father brings it to him and he says, this is a gift. I want to give it to you. You're so nice. You're doing business with me. I don't know you that well, but he gave it to him and that was the end of it. The third time my dad came back, he saw the sefer sitting on the shelf. This man is telling this over to us during Shiva. He says, now the third time your dad says, do you want to learn a little bit with me just for 3 minutes? They took out the sefer and they started to learn. This started happening every time my dad would come back to this guy's office. And the guy ends off the story by telling us, your dad never told me that I had to do anything. He never judged me. He was never forceful. He was never negative. He just got me a gift and spent 3 minutes learning with me. And he said, today, because of your dad, I keep Shabbos. I'm running a kosher Jewish home. And he just wanted our family to know that this was all because of our dad. And we have so many different angles to look at the story, because first of all, we never knew anything about this. We couldn't believe that this guy was telling us this. And my dad was very, very proud about what Rabbi Dave and Svi and Fran and Rabbi Usher, what we're all doing at Shoresh. He was very proud of what the Majeskis are doing at Shoresh. And I hope that we continue, I know we will, to make him very, very proud. And I appreciate all of you being there for us through the Shiva. We're living in very hard and challenging times. I can't say Kaddish for a loved one. And people like you who are reaching out and thinking about us and driving by our home and waving and honking your horns and sending text messages and calling and checking in on us really means the world. Really, really does. From the bottom of my heart, I want to thank all of you. I mean, we only share in joyous and happy occasions.
Thank you, Rabbi Magic. I appreciate it. And finally, we call Dvorah Buxbaum to speak about her dear grandmother, Miriam Meyer, and then we'll say the memorial prayer together.
Hi, this has been so beautiful, and thank you for making this forum for everybody. This is so special. My grandmother, just to share two specific ideas, my grandmother was a very tremendous role model in my life. She was just a pillar of our family. And I wanted to share two specific things. Number one is that she did not have an easy life at all. When she was young, they discovered that my grandfather had a brain tumor and she was left with three children. And unfortunately, my grandfather was left paralyzed. And he survived all of the surgeries after his brain tumor, but he needed a tremendous amount of care. And she became his caretaker, she became the breadwinner, and, you know, in addition to a lot of other things that she had to do. She never, ever, ever complained. She had a tremendous, what we call a simchas hachaim. She always had a smile, a good word to say, no matter what. It was always, you know, everything is good. I think that she always had perspective of, you know, things could have been so much worse. And as she started, you know, caring for him even more, she developed Parkinson's at a pretty young age, and she started, you know, shaking tremendously, and the medicines didn't work right away, but still, like, she never gave in. She just always, she never complained. Everything was always good and beautiful. And if you knew that she was struggling with something, and even when you would visit her, you would call, she would never like pay attention to that. She would always shift away from that and shift her focus to all of the good in her life, which was something that I really learned from her tremendously. And the second thing that I wanted to share is that her relationship with Hashem, her relationship with the Almighty was so, so strong. That even as her mind was starting, at the end of her life, her mind was starting to go a little bit. And, you know, she just always wanted to make sure, she'd always call, you know, my father and say, you know, what's today? What do I have to add to my davening? You know, she never missed a beat. It was always, you know, Hashem always was so good. And I think that connection of with Hashem was also something that kept her, you know, always smiling and always upbeat and always very happy. That combines with the fact that my grandmother always thought about herself second. She never thought about herself. It was always, what could she do for others? So just something that really struck me very much was that when she was recently she moved into a nursing home, and, you know, whenever she would go to the social hall there, and we would bring with her, like, if it would be a little chilly, and we would say, you know, let's grab a sweater for you. She would always say, please bring two. And we would say, you know, you're not going to need two. Like, I think, you know, one is going to be sufficient. And she'd say, no, there's always somebody else there that's cold. We need to bring another sweater. And she was just always like that. If you would come, if you would show up, you know, to visit her and you had ice cream for her or something, you know, she'd always say, you can't just bring me ice cream. We got to share this with everybody around. So she was always thinking about the other people around her. And, you know, she will be missed. And I really appreciate this opportunity to speak. And may the memories of all of the loved ones that we lost, may their neshamos have a tremendous aliyah. And may we all share in good news together. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you very much. So I appreciate all of you attending tonight. We're going to end off in a minute with the memorial prayer. It's interesting how you see everybody in the gallery in boxes. When Zoom figures it out for the Jewish community, when someone passes away, you walk them before between two rows. Well, we can be able to put everybody in two rows and make it a little bit more, you know, effective. But in memory of Norm Friedman, Rebbetzin Carol Cosman, Stephen Levy, Rafi Majeski, and Miriam Meyer, we would like to say the memorial prayer together in Hebrew and in English. Amakom Yenachem Eschem B'toch Shar Avalei Tzion Birushalayim. May you be comforted with the mourners of Zion and Israel. May all of your wonderful family members be remembered for only good. May many children and grandchildren be named after them. And Yitz Hashem, this will be the end of our suffering. And may Mashiach come and hear of Yemenu speedily in our days. I want to thank Rabbi T for arranging this. And those of you who would like to do any more learning on a nightly basis, Rabbi T is on every night at 7:45. Thank you all. And this concludes our memorial program.
Well, before anyone leaves, I will make, I did record this. I will make this recording available as a link. I'll send it out via email, friend. You'll send it out to whoever went for the first time. But this recording will be available that you can share with your family as well.
Thank you, everybody. Have a good evening and be safe. And hope to see you all soon, up close, not so far away.
Okay. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Bye.
We're muted, right?
No, not everybody.
Bye. Hey, Rock.
Bye. Hey, Kenny.
Dr. Ms. Edelman, have you ever met Rocky?
Stories about him. Makes me want to meet him, but by Zoom. I don't know.
That's not good. Michael, that messes
with me. These are Fran's favorite in-laws. Mrs. Freeman, it's good to see you, Mrs. Freeman and Ira. Good to see you all. Maybe see you only on good occasions. Ms. Edelman, feel good, Ms. Edelman.
Thank you, darling. I feel better already just looking at you.
I understand. Debbie says it every day.
That's funny because I was feeling more ill now.
You sound like
just kidding.
I was going to say that.
Rabbi T, maybe yes. We'll send the Cosman kids.
I'll send the link to you, and you can forward it to them, for sure.
Oh, you're so good. Okay.
All right. Good night, everyone.